Right. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, Frank.
Good class. Good to see everyone. It's a beautiful day. How's everyone doing?
Great.
Good.
Great. Yeah.
Beautiful day today, Frank. Very beautiful day that God's made for us.
Yes. Thank you, Jesus. This beautiful day.
Yes. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, let's just thank the Lord for this morning and for this class. Heavenly Father, thank you for the gathering of your people. Thank you that we are able to come here and learn about your work. Such a beautiful weather, great buildings, and all the amenities that you have given us. Goodness, the goods that you give us, but most importantly, Lord, you connect with us. And we're able to connect with you. We're able to come before you and fill your words speak to us this morning. In your name we pray.
Amen.
All right. Last week we ended with the golden rule, right? Make sure you do good things to others. Okay.
So give it back to you.
Actually, I believe that, Alex, it's not about reciprocity, right? So this week is going to be, I think, the last segment of the Sermon on the Mount. And next week, Brother Arthur is going to introduce to us, he's going to have a blurb on for Sunday, in the Sunday's sermon time, about the missions. And as I looked at the final passage, we obviously have a lot more, but I was just praying and asking the Lord, hey, which passage should I really dial in and focus on? It was Matthew 13 through 14, 7, chapter 7, 13 through 14, 21 through 23. So this is what I felt that this would bring us to a closure of Sermon on the Mount. And more importantly, it looks heavy, okay? It is heavy, but I felt that we really needed to hear what Jesus has to say here. Can someone read verses 13 through 14 first?
Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction. Those who enter by it are many, for the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few.
I never really liked this verse because this is a scary verse. And I like the verse on the bottom even less, right? Because it's like, wow, this is not a really Sunday morning message, right? The gate is narrow and those who find it are few. And the way is hard that leads to life. Gosh, let's compare it to Luke 13, 22. Right. Similar. And he went on his way through the towns and villages, teaching and journeying through Jerusalem. And someone said to him, Lord Jesus, will those who are saved be few? And he said to them, strive to enter through the narrow door. For many, I tell you, will seek to enter and will not be able. So Jesus clearly does not expect that many will follow him, right? He does not expect that many will follow him on this narrow path. He said that very clearly, it's narrow and not many. It's narrow and not many. So it's not that he doesn't love everyone. It's not that he doesn't want the good news to go out to everyone, but he clearly does not expect that many will follow on his narrow path. And my question is, why? Why doesn't Jesus expect that many will follow him? You know, our message usually is Jesus loves you all, loves all of you. Right? Yes. But Jesus himself is saying, for many, I tell you, for many will seek to enter, but will not be able. I think we will not break into small groups. I know that's up to us to break into small groups. I tend to like, I like everybody to be with me. I want to hear what you have to say. So I apologize for those of you guys who want to break into small groups, but including the one in the picture. Why doesn't Jesus expect that we will follow? Why does he say that? What do you think most want? Jesus. It's hard. Jesus passed your cares upon Jesus. His yoke is easy. His light. Why is it hard? The focus is different.
Can't be selfish.
Well, it's hard because we all are selfish.
Right.
Yes.
That's the point. You change your mindset, and it's not that hard, but it's hard to just require others and yourself. So, how does, if we're all selfish, how do we unselfish ourselves to go the narrow?
What Jesus says. It's not gonna happen. For many, it won't happen because you're never gonna unselfish yourself. Is that the way to the kingdom? To unselfish you according to your words. What's in my notes?
Yeah.
This is clearly a Chinese church some sort of recording. No. No, because there's no such word.
Why?
I agree with you, Daniel. I mean, it is hard. And part of that reason is that, we're too selfish. We're just going to want more of ourselves. Jesus knows that. So Jesus tells the disciple, is there any other reason why Jesus might be indicating here that, you know what? Here's my good news. You're not going to follow me. You're not going to follow me. Not many will follow me. Could there be another reason?
I think Jesus already knows. But here he knows your eternity.
Yeah,
we don't know. We don't know. Often to someone we don't know their eternity. He's saying it not as an expectation. He knows definitively whether you will enter his kingdom.
Yeah.
So here he knows the answer.
Yeah. But he knows the answer. We don't know. We don't treat it as such, but he knows the answer, and his answer is not many. And I'm wondering, that's such a hard saying, right? Not many. Why not many? Is it because it's hard? Why is it hard?
Would you go back? Are you ready to go back? You want to keep us here to like the Matthew verse, or you want to stay here for?
Oh, I will go back to the Matthew verse. We can go back to the Matthew verse.
Because I think like he says in verse 13 and 14, right? Yeah, she says that the way is hard that leads to life. And those who, the word there is even find it are few. You can't, I'm not saying you can't, but those, right? What does it mean? Those who find it are few. So there's a sense, fine to me goes back to even seeking knocking. Does it mean that they can't find the door to knock, or are they not knocking, right? Or it's, you know, going back to Daniel's comment, I think, how do we understand the way is hard? Is it because it's too hard that we don't want to walk on that way? Or the gate is narrow, I'm just looking at the words, right? Is the gate narrow? Are we, like, is it uncomfortably narrow? Like, what makes that narrow gate unpleasant? Or makes someone wanting to go through the gate? Is that what it's saying?
Yeah, that's very complicated. All I know. Okay, well, so, yes, those are things making me have more money. And that's good. But here's the thing. All I know is Jesus saying, whether it's narrow, or whether it's finding it is hard, or whether entering is hard, or walking in is hard, we know that it's hard. Something about this, where Jesus is saying, he had the whole Sermon on the Mount. He's telling the Jews, the Pharisees, and the people listening to him, hey, you know, blessed are the weak, right? Or the weak in spirit, and then do not judge, and all these things. And he comes down to the conclusion, really, of the sermon, because it is most important. So I said all this, enter. I ask you to enter the narrow gate, right? And in Matthew, in you guys can flip with me if you want to, chapter 16. Chapter 16, verse 24. Then Jesus told his disciples, Matthew 16, 24, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself. There goes the selfish part that Daniel mentioned. Let him deny himself and take up the cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it. Whoever would lose his life for my sake will find it. Goes back to this. It's all connected. Blessed are the persecutors who are persecuted, right? And I heard the sermon. I think something I was telling you guys this week, something strange when I'm like these past few weeks as I'm like, you know, studying the Sermon on the Mount, that God would like use some of the sermons or the things I hear just on radio or podcast that is direct in sync with what I'm studying. It's just strange. It doesn't always happen, but like I heard just one snippet of someone saying, did you know that when someone picks up the cross, that means they're ready to die? I never thought about it that way. I thought picking up the cross is like the burden of being a father. That's my cross, right? The cross I bear is when I go to work, all these people, you know, they make my life miserable. That's my cross. My cross is when I'm in college, you know, oh, I bear a heavy cross. I have to wake up at 8 and go to my chemistry class. Oh, and I hated that class because I just failed it. That's my cross. But I think we made that, you know, as a cross, as if a burden. It is a burden, but it is just a burden. It may not be a cross. I think the cross that Jesus is talking about, when someone actually takes up the cross, like Jesus, they are setting up their own platform for that. They're signifying, I'm ready to die. And when people hear Jesus saying, pick up your cross, they're like, oh, it's time for me to bounce.
I'm out.
I'm not going to die today. That's why it's hard. Yes, it includes that selfishness part. But even more so, I want to save my life. I want to save my life. And that's hard. That's hard. That's why it's hard. And Jesus says it's hard. And this death that Jesus is talking about, it's not just only a spiritual death. He was talking about a physical death too. Both. Right? For the young ones who are going to get baptized. Now, when I heard about this, when I saw this, I was like, oh my goodness, I didn't even know when I was getting baptized. Right? But Jesus is gracious enough. We're on this journey. This whole baptism thing, yes, it signifies that, we're going to come alive in Jesus. But the first part of the dunking in, when I thought about Ryan. I think you three, those three are being baptized, right? It is very significant.
Romans 6.
It means you're picking up your cross. And I have to engage myself in this. It's like Jesus is saying, it is hard, guys. This dunking into the water, as fun as it is and as celebratory it is, the initial part is that you are going to die to yourself. That's what Jesus is saying. And you are prepared to die for Jesus. If it ever comes to that. I know it sounds crazy. Look, guys, we're in an environment that is very radical. But that's what Jesus is saying. And I didn't want to read this message on a Sunday morning, but this is what God wants to say. You go to Jesus saying this. Death first. You want to follow me. But on the other side of death, there's fruit in life. That's what he says. Jesus, take up your cross. For those who lose their life, find it. Wow, that's why the gate is narrow. Those who enter are few, right? The narrow gate.
But the way is hard.
The way is hard. Why is it hard? It's very clear. Jesus is not mincing words here. This is the Jesus' own words, right? The way is hard because when you come after me, you take up your cross. Just as I did. But you will come alive, just as I have. And we're not saying, hey, let's go, die for Jesus right now. But I think Jesus is saying this because something should be going on inside of us. As we hear this. And guess what? Paul is our example, right? Paul is hardcore. And I'm not saying this, but Paul is. Acts 20, 24. I can read it. You guys can follow. 1 through 24. And this is why Paul probably said, but I do not account my life of any value, nor as precious to myself. If only I may finish my course in ministry that I received from the Lord Jesus. Why does he say he does not count his life of any value anymore? Everything is about life today. Wear a mask, don't wear a mask, vaccination, because life is so important. And I'm there too. I'm in that camp, right? We're so important. But Paul says, I don't even count my life as value because I'm going to die with Jesus. That mentality is really radical. And I believe that's why our Lord Jesus says, strive to enter the narrow door. Many seek to enter will not be able. That that the way is hard. The way is hard.
So
there's tension there.
Yeah. So do you think that this is a continuation of the way is hard, like a hard way of life that leads to life, or is to find the way is hard that leads to life, right? Is it the focus on right, if you look at verse 14, is it this life is, and I guess I'm not asking you, I'm asking the whole class, right? Is this like saying the, because you could read it and say, you know, to go in is hard. To go through the narrow gate is hard. To go up to get to the way is hard, right? Because it says, and those who find it, which is referring to it, like the way that is hard that leads to life, or I could refer to find it is the gate that's narrow, right? Is it that it's just hard to find, or hard to first step in through the gate, first step onto the way? Because like you said at the beginning, do some, you know, like, we don't hear this in churches today. What we hear is, cast your cares upon the Lord, you know? Jesus says, right? My burden is light, right? So we don't hear this type of message. I was praying about preaching on Baptism Sunday on the concept of Romans 6, baptized into his death. And I believe that our church, I don't want to say it in a very, like, too negative way, but people have come up to me afterwards and said, Pastor, you preached, you used the word death too much in your sermon. Chinese people don't like to hear the word death. And I'm like, oh,
yeah.
I'm sorry. It's actually really fast.
It's me. Right?
Yeah, like, don't say death so much. Don't say death. But what happens if we're celebrating Ryan and Elise and Bethany and Peter and Angela, and we're like, they are saying that they are buried in Christ's death as they go in the water. Wow, that would be a downer. I was like, I don't think I should preach that because people will throw tomatoes at me. You know, it's like, oh man, we came for a light day. Like, we came to like celebrate. See, you just downed it. Right? So what do you guys think? Is it like the gate to find it is hard, or is it our life actually is hard? Like, what does Jesus talk about in a lot of these other passages too, right? It's kind of heavy.
It's kind of thinking like back to that, like many will try to seek. So these are talking about people who are seeking to enter heaven. Right? Mm-hmm. There's a whole people, so when I'm talking about people who are not even seeking or
right.
don't even believe in heaven.
Yes.
So we're talking about people who seek to enter heaven.
Yes.
And you think about the major religions, how do they seek to enter heaven? Mm-hmm. Right? And I think last week, I went through different religions and how they think.
Mm-hmm.
But like Buddhism, right? Like do good works kind of thing.
Right.
Our question is like, even Muslims, like Muslims, let's say the radical Muslims, they're willing to die. They're willing to take up their cross for, you know, what, to get to heaven. How is that different from us?
That's another Bible study. No, that's good, but that's really digging into it because it's not even about ready to die.
Yeah.
Because you have the Western Christianity, you don't want to talk about
yeah.
death. But that's a big part of it that Jesus is talking about. Then you have the Muslims, oh, I get it. They actually would embrace what Jesus is saying. I'm ready to die. There's something in the middle that we're missing,
yeah.
and the Muslims are missing. And Jesus is saying, you know what? There's that aspect of death. That you guys, Western, your Chinese people don't want to talk about. but you need to have that hard conversation. But there's a conversation that Muslims say you're just dying, and that's death in vain, probably, right? Which is why I don't know if you saw the title of my uncertain titles. It's called Jesus is the Cornerstone. We're gonna get there. And this, which is why we need to go to Matthew 7, 21, 23. Okay, this will bring us there. Exactly what Arthur was alluding to, right? He says, not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Because he's been talking about the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those. You shall see the kingdom of heaven. But then he says, not everyone, guys, who says my name, Lord, Lord, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven, who does the will. Okay, not just the one who dies, right? He's telling you, here's the narrow way. The one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. And he says, on that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name? Whoa, I never cast out demons. I know you guys, I heard the stories, but and many mighty works, good works, I'm assuming, in your name. And then I will declare to them, this goes back to what Pastor Alex said, seeking that entering. I never even knew. I don't know who you are. I don't even know you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. This is heavy lifting. This is heavy lifting, but we got to cover this because we know Jesus' intention is always for our good. He's going to show himself in this passage. Did we prophesy your name? We did all of this in Jesus' name. You know, in a lot of commentaries, like, how can they do this in Jesus' name? And a lot of people land here is like, you can do a lot of works in Jesus' name. Jesus' name will always have power, regardless of man. He will still accomplish his will, right? So a lot of people are doing good works, and you guys are not going to get in the middle of that. But he's saying the works do not equal the kingdom. That's the whole thing from the very beginning, right? Jesus is saying, yeah, you do all these things, but you don't check your heart. He's bringing it to a conclusion here. All these works, even mighty works, I never knew you. This should strike some fear. It struck fear in me. And we have to go back to our own, even believers, you know, we have to go back to our own relationship, right? Have you guys heard the saying, you live by the sword, you die by the sword? You live by the gun, die by the sword. You know, that's what we say in the streets of Chino Hill, right? Right, it's a rough neighborhood out there.
Straight out of Chino Hills.
You like that? I'm talking about that. So, you live by the gun. Now, what does that mean? What does that mean? You live by the sword, you die by the sword. What does that mean? You depend on the sword. You depend on the gun for everything you do. You depend on the gun, right? Right, everything you do, right? Bust out, bust the cap, boom, boom, boom.
Sorry.
I'm sorry, guys.
Is your gangster background?
Yeah, I have a gangster background. I don't. I just watch those movies. I'm a lot of you, right? The sword is what you go to. The sword is what you go to. That's what. But then you die by the sword. One day, the sword's going to get you. It's the gun that's going to. You also die by the gun. Right? It ironically, the sword that saves you, but the sword that kills you. Can I show you some swords? if I may.
This is your sword collection?
Yeah, it's my sword collection.
Oh.
Can I say that?
Mm-hmm.
That are these the swords?
Yeah.
Can I say that? Is that we'll get just bear with me. We'll get there. Can I show you some swords? Study the Bible. Prayer meetings. Again, these are not bad. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that swords, conferences, fellowship, retreats, teaching, preaching, theology, reading, studying, searching the scriptures, evangelizing, defending the truth, feeding the poor, presentations, offering, money, worship songs, lifting hands, right? Service, healings, prophecies, miracles. You know what Jesus is talking about? Is that possible that these could be the swords that Jesus is talking about in verse 23? And then he says, I never knew you. That's what he's saying in this verse. I never knew you. What? Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness.
You know, it's interesting that he says, you're workers of lawlessness, when everything, their sword is the law. You follow the law. The Torah law.
Which includes all the good
things. Right, which is all the good things. It's interesting because, I don't know, stop me if, you know, you have more to say on that. Like, it's interesting that the broad way, the easy way, is the way of the visible, because that's what the religious opposition of Jesus is about. The visible activities. I'm doing all these things. I do, and everyone sees my external work, but Jesus knows what's actually going on inside. And he calls that, even though they're upholding the Torah law, by all their external action inside, they're workers of lawlessness. They're dead inside. That's crazy.
Yeah. Good to know, because it's important to know that he's not condemning these good works.
Right.
But he's saying, yeah, lawlessness. And guess what? Lawlessness, the original meaning is, it's anti-law, meaning anti-God. There's another word that can be translated. It is unrighteousness. And why is that important? You workers of unrighteousness, because who is the righteousness of God? Who is righteous? Who is good?
Jesus.
You workers of unrighteousness, you're not righteous before God. Your works, your Bible studies are great, but you are not right before my Father. Your miracles are great. I'm not going to get into how they do it, because I think that's a rabbit trail that no one can answer. But he's saying, you're doing it. I'm allowing that to happen, but you're not doing it with righteousness. Therefore, I never knew you. Depart from me. Who is righteous but Jesus? His words are validated by God. So 2 Corinthians 5:21. Someone read that for me. 2 Corinthians 5:21. This verse answers directly to what Jesus said. 2 Corinthians 5:21. Can someone read that?
For our sake, you made him to be sin, and you have no sin, so that in him we might become righteous.
Yes, in him we might become not the lawlessness people. We might be law-abiding. We might be righteousness of God. That we would be right with God. That's the whole point. He's trying to get us to be right. He is our righteousness. And in our works, would be righteous, not because of our works, but because of Jesus. So, you know, I kind of paraphrased it with this whole thing is like, if you live by this sword, you kind of die with it. It's not a bad sword, you do a lot of good works. But you will just die with these good works. It stays here on earth. And Jesus is really trying to focus into our hearts. I don't want you to just die with good works. I want you to sit next to me. I want you to be at my foot in the kingdom. I want you to be in the kingdom. I don't want to talk about works right now. I want you in the kingdom with me. I don't want you to die with your good works and die with your toys. I want you to be in the kingdom with me. I don't want to say, I never knew you. I think this is a message of good news. I know it sounds very heavy, but I think it's good news. He's saying, I don't want to say this to you. I don't want to say depart from me, right? But it is a bit scary, right? So what's the solution? What's the good news here? But the one who does the will of my Father. The one who does the will of my Father, that's what Jesus said. He or she will be in the kingdom of heaven. What's the will of the Father? That's Alex. I'm kidding. What's the will of the Father? That's the question. That's the question. What's the will of the Father? We gotta figure it out, guys, all of us. You know, what's the will of the Father? John 6:40. Someone said that. Again, we're gonna land solidly on Jesus as a cornerstone, right? John 6:40. What is the will of the Father? Please, can you read that for us?
John 6:40. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day.
That's the will of the Father. The one who looks to Jesus. That's why he says to ask and seek. We talk about the Father is good, that Jesus is good. Ask and seek, he looks to me, he comes to me, he looks to me, connection. And this is, I believe, Pastor Alex's favorite verse in John 15:5. It's, I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me, right? Just come to me, just be with me. And then, you know, 2 weeks ago, I think Rez mentioned, I think Jesus is just saying, I just want to be with you. connect with me, connect with me, abide with me. It's to be connected to the Son, to have a relationship. That Jesus is being so, he's driving this point home so much. And that's why he's using harsh language. I never knew you. Because if you just stay with the words, I will not know you. I will not know you that day. Because I'm not connected with you. I'm not eating on the same table. You haven't came in and had dinner with me. We haven't talked. We haven't connected. I don't even know who you are. You did all these things, but you're like, you haven't came to my house yet. I don't even know who you are. I wish I knew. I don't know you. So that's why he said, but the one who does not, you know, many times when I read this verse, does the will of my Father, I went straight to works. What do I need to do? Right? But then there's the whole litany of things. The will of the Father, John says, speak to the Son. That's the will of the Father.
I think this is so tricky in the church, you know, with all the swords. I'm going to share later on the pulpit something that Pastor James actually led our deacons through on a Tuesday night prayer, because it has to do with this idea. And we're at a place where even as we're preaching, as we're seeing God's word in 1 Corinthians, it is an active church. There's a lot of those sword activities that you have put up there. Those are good. And you clarified, those are not, Jesus is not downing the activity. That's the activity, though, of life. In the verse 14, where it says, the way of life. Those are the way of life. When you're on the way of life, all of our baptism kids knows that something inwardly has occurred that slowly begins to manifest itself outwardly in this way because they have life. But I think what gets really tricky in the church is when you start talking about the swords, it's very deceiving to say, I'm just going to keep doing more sword activity. I do a lot. Oh, that means love. That's the will of the Father, just to be busy for the Father. And we miss a lot of the concepts here to abide, to be healed, to be close to the Father. If we had to open up another Sunday school class, I think Frank, you and I have talked about, we need a class to help people understand what does it mean to even be close to the Father? What does it mean to be intimate to the Father? I think a lot of people struggle with that. I mean, you tell the will, like you said, works. I mean, you tell me what to do, man, suck it up. I'll start checking those off. I'll start doing, because that's easy. I'll do more. You want me to do more? That's love. I'll do more. And then we've missed it.
That I don't want to be that personally when I read this. I don't want to be that guy. I don't think anyone wants to be that guy. I think of my kids. I mean, they don't understand right now. I don't want them to be. I don't want to wear them up so that, hey, here's the works. You do good. And then Jesus doesn't know you. God forbid, right? So Jesus is saying, that's what I've been saying. Jesus says, blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Where your treasure is, where there your heart is also. Don't be anxious. Because you're anxious because you're trying to do all the things, get all these things. Right? I'm trying to help you, right? Don't go after the goods. Don't seek the goods. Seek me, because you'll find me. I'm the one who's good. Seek the kingdom first. Everything else will be added unto you, but seek righteousness first. That's the most important, because if you don't seek the kingdom and my righteousness, I will not know you. So he's saying, build a relationship. And back to what you're saying, this is, seek in your own words. I actually learned this from Pastor Alex. I don't know if he's okay with me sharing this. We were just walking along, a street. I remember during the fall, we were at our coffee. We were just walking along, and then I asked, I said, what do you do as a pastor? I mean, what is your main goal?
You said, what is your life most? What's your top focus in ministry now as a pastor? Mm-hmm.
Because I just want to know. I'm curious. What was the pastor's main goal? And he said this. I never heard this before. And he says his desire is to love the king. Never heard that. That stuck with me. But I believe as I'm going through this, I landed here, and I believe that's what Jesus is saying. Because he says, I want you to have a relationship with me. I'm the king. Kings, Lord of Lords. I want you to love me, and I want you to let me love on you. I want you to have this relationship with me. Loving on you meaning be vulnerable, be weak, be meek, be gentle, so that I can let me provide this for you. Let me work out the sadness in your life and the burdens of your life, the weaknesses in your life. Don't try to get stronger. Let me be your strength. Don't try to be better. You're sick. I know. Let me be your healer. Don't try to pretend that you got it together. I know you don't. Let me be the one who gets it together for you. And so to say, I want that love connection with you. Do that first, Bethany, Elise, Ryan, I was here, right? To start with the works in your young Christian journey. Don't start with the swords. You die by the swords. Start with cornerstone, right here. Start with the cornerstone. Jesus is our cornerstone. Start with the cornerstone. Have this relationship. Spend time with, know me, can hear me, can see me, can feel me. Then you can stack up the swords. Then you just, that's right, the cornerstone. It makes all sense, right? You start with a cornerstone. Oh, now I get it. Then you stack all the other stuff on it. Because when all the other stuff fails, we learn that the cornerstone is stable. That never falls. But if you stack the swords first, hoping to put the cornerstone on top or anything else on it, it's going to crumble. The building is going to crumble. So, take it from someone who has gone that route and who tries to do that. It crumbles, it doesn't feel good. But God is a good God. He will build you back up. Because I build it with works, and the works will crumble. But if you build it with Jesus, the cornerstone, the works can come and go. Doesn't matter. You'll get to stack your works. But what's more important, Jesus says, I know you. I know you. And did you do good works? Probably not. It's my works. Don't worry. I did it already. But your works are righteous. Because I'm righteous. Because you have that cornerstone. Because you have me. Don't depart from me. Come in. Come in to my banquet. Eat with me. Because I know you. And that is the good news, right? Is that comforting? If we work out our salvation with fear and trembling, and then like, oh, the king, and then just loving the king, letting the king love you, I'm on that journey. I don't know what that's like, but I started. I want to know what loving the king is like, letting him love me, how that feels, and how that, yeah. I'm on that journey with you guys. But I believe this is what Jesus wants to say to us this morning. I believe so. This word is for somebody, if not all of us, because I was compelled with all the verses, I had to end it. I had to bring this out because this is super, super important. And after studying all the sermon on that, it's super important because it would be sad if Jesus says, I don't know you. So that's how we need to understand. Beautiful things. We'll take care of it. Oh. Yeah, folks online, I'm sorry. I didn't really get to break out and then answer these questions. There's a message that I had to deliver. And then so that I washed my hands. I had to deliver this because it was predicted to deliver it, so I talked a lot more today, but I hope the message is clear. Jesus has to be the cornerstone because the will of the Father is that we have a relationship with the King, not source. Any response, any sharing, or just thoughts that you might may or may not have? Brings relief to those of us who have a relationship.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm going to be going off tangent, but something that I've been thinking about is the condition of my heart, right? And then that kind of led me to the verse of, you know, kind of led me to David, King David, right? You know, he didn't do a lot of, you know, he did a lot of good works, but he also did a lot of bad works, right? Like he committed murder and adultery, right? So I really track with what you're saying, Frank. It's not about the works, right? Or not so much about the works, you know, because David did bad works, right? He murdered, he committed adultery. Like we've never done that, right? But still God considered him, you know, a man after his own heart, right? So it is about, that's kind of where I'm kind of in the process of thinking right now, in my journey, which is, you know, the condition of my heart, right? You know, it's not all about, hey, I do all these good things and then God will love me more. No, God will love me regardless, right? And I think something that either Frank, you or Alex said really, really touched me was, you know, all it is to have a relationship with Jesus. That's it. So I'll just end my sharing there.
Thanks, Bob. That's number one. That's the most important, is he knows you, and you know him, the relationship. Again, the works will come, and there are life, there's fruit, right? That's what the fruit is. There is, you can't help but to bear fruit. In fact, the sermon talks about that. You'll know their works by their fruit. So yes, there is repentance, there's victories, and there's good works, there's great exploits for God. you know, in missions and local church and in the kingdom. But it has to start with that relationship. That's the most important. That's most important. Yeah. I was gonna say, from you know, personal experience, I think a lot of times when we first become Christians or then we focus on Jesus and then we lay up our works and stuff. And sometimes we lose sight. You know, you get really busy and then all you do is just like, oh, I just want to get this done for service or whatever. Right? So that's not to say like some people may still be in that state. You know, not a work and stuff. It's not to drop everything, right? It's not to say to drop everything. But in everything that you do, you have to sort of remind yourself to find Jesus in those ministries or the service that you're doing. You know, go back to the cornerstone. I think architects, right? If you build something, you always look at where the structure is. Right? You remodel a home. Is that a supporting structure? You know, like you have to go back to why we're doing it, and is it going to last? Is it going to be secure? You know, lay on the foundation you once knew when you were first when you first became a believer.
Yeah, I think that's it. Yeah, that's so true. Go back, and for those of us who obviously, you know, do a lot of great works, it never hurts to go back to the relational part, right? But for those who are just building works, I'm sure as the pastors, that's where their heart is. They want to make sure the flock is not just doing works. They want to make sure they know the King. That's the first and foremost. Even if they don't do one work, like the thief, was he a thief next to Jesus? The guy who was condemned, right? He didn't do any good works at the end. He died. Jesus says, "I know you." Well, that's a beautiful passage right there. Jesus says, "I know you. You're going to be with me." That's insurance right there. But then compared to what he's saying to all the Pharisees, "I don't know you." So relationship first. Gotta know Jesus, and Jesus gotta know you. Let him love you. You get a chance to love him too. I think that's a beauty of our faith and of our walk with Jesus. And that kind of concludes our sermon. I don't know if that's good or not. Okay. Are you able to that? Okay. Now
that's good.
Can someone else close in prayer for us? Maybe Dr. Lady.
Dear Lord Jesus, we thank you for these verses of our heart. They make you to hear, Lord. I believe it's a warning to us, Lord, to check our heart. Lord, as talk about the Lord, that our relationship with you is the reason why we do anything. So we ask, we all here may be one with you, Lord, that we constantly seek to spend time with you, or to know you, for you to know us, or to be known by you, Lord, regardless of what works, Lord. So we thank you, Lord, we thank you for this time, and Pastor Alex just teaching us, just learning just the things that are on our hearts, Lord. And so we thank you. Help us to accomplish that. Help us to not just accomplish it works, Lord, but just our relationship. So we thank you for this sun for this last Sunday. To receive, to us.
Thank you. All right, so next week we're kicking off our new Sunday school course. All right, so invite those who you haven't seen to come. I think it'll be good, right? Doc, what do you think? Should we invite people? Yeah. So I think we should do our best. If you see people who are not usually here, invite them to come, because it's going to be a fresh new series. That'll take us a little bit, right? Well, that's a little bit good. And it'll be an interesting topic and something that will also be very practical. We're going to have like life application during the week. I got to check with the good doctor, man. All right, so that's starting next week. It'll be a series. I'm really excited for it. Brother Arthur's going to kick it off next week.
Yeah.
So let's pray for that too, okay?
All right. Cool. Have a good Sunday, everyone.